This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Federal judge blocks Louisiana from requiring 10 commandments in all public school classrooms. Texas Republicans say they hope Texas will be the first state to make it happen.
After the Louisiana law passed, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick took to social media, saying Texas should have been the first state to put the Ten Commandments back in our schools. It failed in 2023. Now new legislation's been filed. Authored by State Senator Phil King, he says religious liberty is among the reasons.
We also want kids to see that there are certain standards for morality and wanted to see that every day when they walk in that classroom K through 12.
The 2023 bill died in the Texas House. Democratic State Rep James Talarico voted against.
Instead of bringing a bill that will feed the hungry, clothe the naked, heal the sick, we're instead mandating that people put up a poster.
In Austin, Chris Fox, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
We've had hours of testimony. Committee in Austin recommends Senate Bill 4 to the full Senate. Senate Bill 4 is designed to lower property taxes by raising the homestead exemption by $140,000. Of course, the Constitution would have to change to make this happen. Legislation would need approval from two-thirds of the Senate and the House before going on the ballot in November.
Well, the federal government has more than $1 billion worth of transportation money to give away, and rail projects in the metro want a piece. The North Central Texas Council of Governments' Valerie Alvarado says they've applied for more than $300 million to rebuild tracks used by the Trinity Railway Express, Amtrak, and freight railroads.
It was a project to improve intercity passenger rail performance, which included reduced trip times, increased train frequencies, higher operating speeds, improved reliability.
She says a federal grant could pay up to 80% of the cost.
You know, more and more people keep moving in. We've got some ideas on how to bring down the cost of housing.
A poll by the Texas Association of Business shows 80% of us think there's a shortage of reasonably priced housing. 70% say it should be easier to transform unused office space to apartments, and people who own large plots of land should have the ability to build homes for different incomes. The president of the association says 1,500 people are moving to Texas every day, so it's no surprise the housing supply is struggling to keep pace. But he says the state needs to address the issue now, so they're going to work with the legislature to find what he describes as common sense reforms to take away regulatory barriers, slowing builders. From the 24-Hour News Center, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Well, an execution date has been set for a Garland man who burned an elderly gas station attendant to death 11 years ago.
41-year-old Matthew Johnson is now scheduled to be put to death in May, almost 13 years to the day of the murder. In 2012, Johnson walked into a gas station, robbed 76-year-old Nancy Harris, and for no other reason poured lighter fluid on the grandmother and set her on fire. Harris died several days later. After Johnson was sentenced to death, Harris's son Chris Harris addressed Johnson in victim impact statements.
I hope they are stowed away somewhere in your subconscious and they come back to you years from now and torture you. I hope the screams of my mother tear at your soul for eternity.
A little less than a month before Johnson is put to death, a Collin County man is due to be executed. From the 24-hour news center, LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
Well, it was a busy night for security at the American Airlines Center. Last night, a Mavericks game against Sacramento. About a half dozen fans still furious over the Luka Doncic trade. They wound up getting ejected for violating the NBA's code of conduct for fans. Yes, they have one. One of these fans got on. This was great. You've probably seen the video of this. He got onto the Jumbotron during the karaoke segment during one of the breaks, timeouts. Fans get to sing along to their favorite song, except this guy, in the middle of his song, he looked into the camera and mouthed the words, "Fire Nico."
That was good.
And that was it for him. And then there were the fans holding up a sign that said that same thing, "Fire Nico." They were shown the door as well. And finally, two other fans, they started a "Fire Nico" chant. They got thrown out too. And we've got one of them on the KRLD Newsline with us right now. His name is Chris Taylor. He is a season ticket holder, at least for now.
I appreciate it.
You got it.
These are, you know, these are pretty good seats you've got. You and your friend, you got this chant going. Was this planned or was it just more spontaneous?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It was definitely planned. We had intentions going into the night to be very strategic and very calculated with how we expressed ourselves, because we were aware that they were shutting people down on Saturday. We had heard stories on Saturday of arena staff and security being very aggressive, very hostile, making people throw signs away, not telling people one more time and you're out of here. Firsthand accounts and videos of people getting kicked out on Saturday. So I had a feeling of what we were going to walk into last night. But with the Anthony Davis news, Sacramento on a Monday, I knew there was going to be a lot less people. And I felt like we could be more effective, again, in making our voices heard within the confines of the NBA code of conduct. I do not think that I broke any of those rules. We'll get into it a second that Mark Cuban for sure broke those rules and started shouting obscenities at us. But yeah, it was strategic. With 2 minutes left, we said, okay, here's our chance.
Let's just go there. Wait a second here. Mark Cuban. So let's talk about that interaction there.
So with 2 minutes left, or a little over 2 minutes, I looked at my friend. I said, okay, this is our chance. Next time we get somebody shooting a free throw. And I just want to say this. I hate doing stuff during Mavericks free throws, because when we were not doing Fire Nico stuff, we were cheering the team along. We love those guys, Kyrie and that whole squad. We were cheering for the Mavs and wanting them to win the game last night. But then when it would get quiet is when we would take our opportunity. And sadly, that was during Mavericks free throws. So I think we started doing the Fire Nico chant during a Mavericks free throw that triggered Mark Cuban. And I'm 19 rows behind Cuban, and my voice is loud enough that it carries. And everybody on the bench can hear me. When I was yelling, put in Luka earlier in the game, everybody can hear the Fire Nico. And maybe we have 20 or 30 people that are now doing the Fire Nico chant with us. It was the loudest our section had been all night.
And what did Cuban
and
do?
Cuban stood up and he turned around and he looked straight at me, pointed at me, and he started yelling, "Sit down." And then I pointed back at him And I said, you sit down. You did this. This is your fault. And that triggered him to start yelling, sit the F down, shut the F up. And he was doing it while pointing down. And he probably did that 4 or 5 times. He was doing it over and over again in my direction.
And so, you're saying he violated the code of conduct.
He escalated it to profanity.
Really bad. And Tim McMahon wrote an article about it. And not that I rock with him, but Tim McMahon put an article out there that detailed Cuban yelling exactly what I just said. Read it in the article. It's word for word. Shut the F up, sit the F down. And he did it over and over and over again. I never used foul language. And if you look at the NBA code of conduct, I was not obscene or indecent in anything that I did all night long.
All right. Have you been? Have the Mavs talked to you about the status of your season tickets, or have they said anything since?
They have not. I imagine that I'm going to hear from them at some point. Oh. I can't imagine that I'm just not going to hear from them.
I'm not a lawyer, but I'm pretty certain he will.
But I also would think that with an interview like this, and CBS News and WFFA are sending news trucks to the house as we speak to do interviews with me, I'm hoping I can shed enough light on this that it would put them in a tough position if they did cancel my season tickets.
And you got video, right? You got video of your interaction with security.
Yeah, and in the first 10 seconds of the video, you can hear one of the arena staff say, do you want to walk out or get dragged out? That's literally how the video starts. And then at one point, I had to tell a Dallas police officer, please don't touch me. And then, look, part of me going to games and having fun and being loud and stuff is like, I'm kind of known for having a lot of fun at the games. So part of it is fun. I like to troll a little bit with the put in Luca type stuff, right? But like, no harm, nothing crazy. Last night, clearly they were not having it.
So you've done this before, something like this before?
Well, 2 years ago, as they were tanking and not making the playoffs at the end of 22-23, I wore a Fire Jason Kidd shirt to the game, and I was able to get a seat maybe like 10 rows behind the Mavericks bench. I didn't yell anything. I didn't say anything. But in the third quarter, I took my jersey off to reveal the shirt, and I stood up, and within 2 minutes, security came and
tossed.
Got me.
Yeah.
They actually didn't toss me because they said if you put the jersey over it, but they forced me. They said, you have two choices, cover the shirt or you're getting kicked out. You pick. And at that point, I was like, yo, I'll just watch the game. I'm cool. I just put the jersey back on. But they were very hostile that night. So anytime I've had interactions with anybody at AAC when I'm having fun, they've been hostile, aggressive, and I would say they've crossed the line many times, but who's going to keep them accountable?
Right.
They get to do whatever they want, and it doesn't matter for the fans. And I just think it's really sad and unfortunate that we're in this spot, and I feel that it's awful that they're treating fans like that, that have season tickets, that have been going for years, that love and bleed with this team.
So this whole thing is just continuing to snowball. Hey, listen, Chris, we've got to run, but I want to thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with us about what happened last night and what we might expect.
And you know that, as he mentioned, you're going to hear a lot more about this on the evening news is around the Metroplex and everything. But it's
Mavs a little sensitive.
I just again, a Fire Jason Kidd shirt, and all you have is a shirt, and they tell you to cover up. That to me is stupid. When you go to a game, you pay that ticket. You are allowed to express yourself, and as long as you're not doing it, like you mentioned, with profanity,
the guy with the karaoke, seriously throwing him out?
Yeah, and they had that. There was a sign. That's just ridiculous, because people have a right to be angry. You did something stupid.
And they are, and they will be for some time. Trump, the first 100 days, and this one just every bit as busy as the first 23.
Meeting with the Jordanian president today at the White House.
This could be interesting because it ties into Gaza.
Bam.
The key to any peace plan in Gaza, and we've talked about this, it involves an assurance that the 2 million Palestinians who live there will be allowed to return if they are forced out during the rebuilding process. Without that assurance, most of them say they're not going to leave. This is their home. They want to be able to come back. Well, the president is now weighing in on this. He has already said he wants to clear out the Palestinians by force, if necessary, so that Gaza could be turned into a resort area under the control of the U.S. and Israel, a so-called Middle Eastern Riviera. But he never addressed that right to return issue until now. And his answer? No. They would not be allowed to return once the rebuilding is complete. And that actually contradicts others in his administration who have argued that Trump was only calling for the temporary relocation of the Palestinians. Apparently not. Andrew Neil is a longtime political journalist and Middle Eastern expert. He says Trump may not have thought this one through.
It's pretty much mission impossible that America takes sovereignty over Gaza, which is what he's talking about. It's a demolition site, he says, rebuilds it and turns it into the Riviera of the Middle East. There is a Riviera of the Middle East already, of course, it's called Dubai. And whether America could do all that, it's a 15, 20-year program. Would any subsequent president really be interested in doing it? Well, there's a little problem of what do you do, meanwhile, with the 2 million Palestinians who've lived there? He says they can go and live in Egypt and Jordan. I can assure you, Egypt and Jordan do not want any share of 2 million Palestinians. Jordan in particular finds the Palestinians rather destabilizing, and they're already a majority there. So I think, you know, that's going to go nowhere. I mean, this is a president who got elected on saying, we don't want any of this neocon stuff anymore. We don't want America to be trying to solve every problem in the world. But now he's trying to make a land grab for Greenland, trying to do a land grab for Canada, the Panama Canal, and now Gaza. I mean, if I was the Scotland's Isle of Skye, I'd be a little bit worried that they could be next. His mother comes from there. He might quite like the idea of absorbing the Isle of Skye into America as well.
While this idea may not fly, you have to admit nothing else has ever worked in this part of the world. Douglas Murray is a war correspondent for the New York Post. He tells Bill Maher that maybe Israel should be allowed to just finish the job in Gaza.
You can't just put out 80% of a fire. You have to put out the whole thing. You can't destroy 80% of Hamas. You can't not get the leader who masterminded the 7th, Sinwar. And that's all in Rafah.
Rafah is the second largest city in Gaza. It's right along the border with Egypt. And it's also where almost three quarters of those 2 million Palestinians are now sheltering. So his argument is that Israel is often forced to play under different rules when it comes to warfare.
I mean, it's very strange. A year before I was in Ukraine, I was with the Ukrainian armed forces when they were retaking land from the Russians. And nobody was saying, oh, hold on, don't win too much. Everyone was egging them on. Every Western leader gets a shot of testosterone whenever they talk about the Ukrainian armed forces. And yet the Israelis never allowed to win.
Yeah.
Very strange.
What do we attribute that to? Why is that anti-Semitism, would you say?
I mean, you know, for some reason, I think anti-Semitism is one of the reasons. Whenever Israel is involved in a conflict, the whole world goes bananas. And you can't even have a Eurovision Song Contest without it becoming an Israel-Gaza thing. It's crazy. Everyone gets obsessed with this conflict. And I think one reason is, by the way, is because a lot of people, Democrats and Republicans and people of all stripes, have said for a generation, until the Palestinian-Israeli issue is solved, there won't be peace in the Middle East. As if you solve the Palestinian-Israeli issue and then the economy of Yemen starts to boom, you know, and then like the Iranian mullahs give women rights and like the Saudis become really keen on the gays. No.
And as we said, he's meeting with the King of Jordan, Trump is, at the White House today. This is another key. If they're going to force the Palestinians out, they've got to go somewhere. And all the surrounding countries have said, we don't want them.
Absolutely.
We don't have
Jordan,
the room,
including Egypt.
Including Jordan. So maybe there's going to be a little arm twisting going on at the White House today.
I still think this is one of the things that he is talking about. I don't know that it will ever happen. Just because of the logistics of this would just be enormous. We saw or heard on CBS News, $53 billion to rebuild Gaza right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that would take, what, 10 years? Maybe. A minimum.
And as we said, every time someone comes up with an idea,
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And every time it doesn't work, we're one step closer to the rest of the world just throwing their hands up in the air. You know what? You guys work it out.
Douglas Murray did bring up a great point, is that peace in the Middle East is not necessarily contingent on the Palestinians and Israelis. I mean, look, that whole region is just nothing but chaos all the time.
Always.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.